I want to talk to you this morning about Joshua's new normal. We're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 1 and some of the things that they were going through. I think it's a bit of a now word for us in this season, but we know the big picture of all that the children of Israel had experienced. The Hebrew people had come out of Egypt, had been brought out of Egypt with miraculous signs and wonders, and they had went on this journey through the wilderness, and they were told that they were on their way to this place of promise. And so from Egypt to that place of promise really should have been about an 11-day journey, certainly no more than 2 weeks, but they ended up doing laps of a mountain in the wilderness for over 40 years. Why? Because even though God had set them free, their hearts were still in captivity. And so they kept moving forward, but not in God's way. And so they did laps of the mountain for 40 years. And it was a crazy situation, but even after those 40 years, God had proved himself that he was faithful. And even though they had kept rebelling against him, even though they had got so many things wrong, they kept going their own way. They kept complaining and grumbling and wanting to be back in captivity for the easy path in life. But Moses, even in that situation, had led them so well. He had led them through all kinds of amazing, miraculous situations. They came through the Red Sea on dry land. He had led them through the wilderness, provided miraculously for with food and water, quail falling from the sky, manna falling from the sky, like bread, enough water flowing from a rock to quench the thirst of 1.5 million people. These were crazy things that were happening, amazing, miraculous things, but they still couldn't really settle to follow God's path and God's ways. They were led by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Amazing, miraculous things just kept on happening. And all the time they walked through the wilderness, they kept looking to this thing that had been promised, this new land, this new bountiful land that was so filled with everything they needed. And they kept looking to that, and they didn't fully know what that new normal was going to look like. But they kept moving towards that. They kept ushering themselves into that new thing. But they weren't sure what it was going to look like. They weren't sure how to prepare for it. And I suppose in some ways we can relate to that in these days. We're about to step into a new normal, if you like, and we're not sure what it's going to look like. But they kept moving towards it. Even though they made so many mistakes, they kept faithfully moving towards it. Now, in Joshua chapter 1, Moses has died. And Joshua has been appointed as their leader. And they're about to get this amazing command from God that right now is the time that you're to cross over and step into this place of promise. Right now is the time to step into this new normal, to begin to receive the promises of God. And so they did this all with the hashtag over their lives, faith over fear. And we'll see that as we read through. So let's read Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land they swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning neither to the right nor to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate in it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Then Joshua called together all the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Your wives, your children, and livestock may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan River, but your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest as he has given you rest, until they too possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. Only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, assigned you. They answered Joshua, "We will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses, and may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous." And it's amazing when you see the journey these guys are on. It's amazing when you see the word that Joshua receives here. It really is profound. And so here they are. They're standing in this new moment with this new challenge, this new commission to go and take the land. They're standing in a really unique, significant cultural moment. And they're not sure what comes next, but they're ready to do whatever the Lord says. And so Joshua now at this point is appointed as their leader. But why Joshua? Why not someone else? Why not so many of the other leaders? You see, God is always looking for people with perspective, people who see the possibilities and the potential, not the problems and the negativities. Joshua was someone who always chose faith over fear. He was always someone who looked for the potential. He looked for what God was doing. He didn't look for the problems. And there's a great example of this in Numbers chapter 12. 12 guys, a representative from each tribe, were sent out to spy out this new land, to see what it was like, to see what challenges lay ahead. 10 of those guys came back and said, "You know, the land's really bountiful. It's full of all of the things that we have been promised. But there are really strong warriors. There are really, really heavily fortified cities. And there's even giants there. And to be honest with you, beside them, we felt like grasshoppers. There's no way we can overcome that land. There's no way we can overcome these cities and these giants." But Joshua and Caleb, they came back with a different report. They came back because they had been looking for all of the potential. They had been looking for the possibilities. And they came back and they said, "Yeah, there's a lot of fortified cities, the lads are big, but I believe that we can take them because the Lord is with us. And if we go now, I believe the Lord will give it into our hands." But the people had listened to the wrong narrative. They had listened to the fear-filled narrative. And they really rose up against Joshua and Caleb. And they wanted to actually stone Joshua and Caleb, overthrow Moses, and go back to Egypt. Crazy situation. It's amazing sometimes, you know, that people, when they're presented with fear, they tend to actually listen to that narrative and choose the easy path without having to confront all of the challenges and the strongholds and the problems. And it's also interesting that whenever you choose faith over fear, very often people would prefer to attack those or challenge those who are filled with faith rather than actually face their own struggles, their own battles, and actually take on the enemy. And that's what was going on here. But Joshua and Caleb were filled with faith. God was with them and he gave them an inheritance for their faith. And later, as we know here right now, Joshua is appointed to replace Moses. And so God really does look for people who are filled with faith, filled with the heart to find the possibilities and the potential. He loves to walk with people and encourage people on their journey when they have that kind of attitude. And that attitude, that character is so contagious. You'll see later that the people were willing to follow God with Joshua, whatever the cost. Why? Because they saw that faith. It kept coming to the surface in his life. And so these guys are standing in a particular moment. Joshua has been appointed as their leader, and they're about to step into a whole new normal. Really, this significant cultural moment was unprecedented. I wonder if you've heard that word before in the past year. But it was so huge that thousands of years later, we're still talking about it. But because these guys chose faith over fear, they stepped into God's promise in this new normal. And that's something we've really got to take note of. And I guess when we think about this situation, we can understand it to a point. You see, these guys had walked with the previous generation. They had saw them repeatedly accept less than the promise. They had saw them willingly do laps of a mountain rather than simply obeying God and trusting Him and walking in faith. And when you think of all that led to this point, it's no wonder that this generation was totally unwilling to continue to accept less than the promise. They were totally unwilling to go round the mountain again and again and again. I'm sure they were sick of looking at that mountain. They'd seen it from every angle 100 times. And they were up for whatever God wanted to do. It reminds me of an up-and-coming generation now. But these guys were absolutely passionate about doing whatever was necessary to give themselves to the purposes of God, to step into the promise. And Joshua was asking a lot of them. God was asking a lot of them. Some of them would have to leave their families on the east side of the river and cross over the Jordan into the unknown, into this new normal that they didn't understand or fully grasp. And they were to go to war. Not only were they to go to war, but they were to stay there until all of the tribes conquered the land and found rest. Only then could they return to their family. So this was a really big ask. It was a huge ask, but it was worth it. It's always worth it to follow the purposes of God. It's always worth it when you see the possibilities and the potential of the new thing that God's doing. It's always worth giving yourself to the purposes of God. They were focused on seeing God's kingdom come, and they totally gave themselves for that purpose. And they were facing huge changes, but it was always going to be worth facing those changes with faith over fear. And we're living in a similar situation. I'm going to quote someone who's a bit of a controversial figure. He's the chief executive of the World Economic Forum, a guy called Klaus Schwab. I've probably murdered the pronunciation of that, but this is what he said recently. Our world currently stands on the brink of a mass political, technological, and social shift which will transform our existence in ways we cannot possibly yet know. That's a profound statement. But here's something even more profound. That was given at the World Economic Forum, the Global Risk Report, in 2019. So that was said before COVID hit. So how much more would that be exaggerated now? And so it's fair to say that we too are standing in a hugely significant cultural moment. Our world has changed in a very short space of time, and has changed quite dramatically. And even coming to the moment that we're standing in right now, tech developments and the industrial revolution that we're experiencing at the minute, it was already bringing huge changes before COVID hit, but again, now it's amplified maybe 100, even 1,000-fold. And there's no doubt we're stepping into a new normal, a different world that will look the same in many ways, but things are going to change. But like the Hebrews, we're not fully sure what the new normal looks like. We don't really know what to expect when restrictions lift, finally. But one thing we do know, that as we step over into this new normal, that God wants to lead us and guide us into the fullness of His promise. He wants us to receive this promise for ourselves, for our families, for our land, and He wants all of us to step into the full purpose of His plan. He wants us to step into the fullness of His purpose and plan for our lives. And so much of what Joshua is told here, in this first chapter even, is such a now word for us. And really, one of the biggest things that Joshua is told here is choose faith over fear every single time. Be strong and courageous, verse 6. Be strong and very courageous, verse 7. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, verse 9. And this came alive in Joshua's heart so much that the people were so inspired by him that way on in verse 18, they say back to him, so be strong and courageous. And so this is a faith-filled community that has been formed to take on the purposes of God. And he's making sure that they get the point. I believe he's making sure through this morning that we get the point. And he wants this generation to step up into the new normal, into God's new thing with faith, to do whatever it takes and to go wherever he wants us to go. And I'm sure these guys, as they stepped into this new normal, I have no doubt in my mind that they heard all of the reports of the giants of the fortified cities. I'm sure the rumor mill was in full operation. Can you imagine their news and media outlets and their social media focusing all the time on the fortified cities, on the giants? Can you see them with all their graphs and charts to see how big the giants were and how small the grasshoppers were? I'm sure they were interviewing grasshoppers everywhere they went. But these guys listened to God. These guys filled themselves with the Word of God, and they went on the journey that He had for them, filled with faith, not filled with fear. See, the purpose of God was to expand and to establish His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And these guys were willing to go with that. Why? Because they had been given a mission by God to step into this new place and to build the culture of the kingdom of God right in the heart of it. And I can understand these days that we're living in times of uncertainty. Nobody really knows what next steps are going to need to be taken. The business community don't really know. The faith community don't really know. Political people don't really understand or know exactly what's next. And I know there are conflicting reports of what the future might look like. But none of that really matters. Why? Because God is outworking His purposes, and it's only what He says that matters. And so we need to be careful about our intake. We need to be careful about who we listen to, what we listen to, and how much of that drives our path moving forward. But here's the exciting thing. For some time now, considerable number of years, God has been birthing a new thing right across the world, and now in the Western world. He's birthing a new thing, and it's so exciting that as we step into this new thing, God's purposes and plans will all be outworked. And He chooses to ask us to partner with Him in it. Can't fully get my head around that, but what a beautiful thing. And the world might look a bit different over the next few years. I have no doubt that Christ is repositioning His people to step into the fullness of His promise, to see the culture of His kingdom come alive in every home, in every street, in every estate, every town and village and city. I believe with all of my heart that He's doing something really, really special. And He's raising up a generation who are filled with faith, not fear. And He's going to use that generation to impact this world in profound ways. A generation who'll cross over into the new normal with a passion to see His kingdom come here on earth. And that's such a beautiful and exciting thing. I've never been more convinced of that as I am right now. And so the truth is, some will continue to go round the mountain time and time and time again, settling for what is short of the promise. But it's up to each one of us to choose His path, to choose His ways. And it's never about maintaining what we have. It's always about stepping into that new thing. Not about just settling for less in the promise in wilderness experiences, but stepping into the fullness of God's purpose and plan. And that is always centered around making disciples in a way that produces multiplying movement. I'm going to say something. Northern Ireland doesn't need more meetings. Nothing wrong with meetings. There's nothing wrong with gathering as the body of Christ. That's a beautiful thing. But that cannot be everything that we center ourselves around. God wants to do so much more in us and through us, in every home, in every street, in every estate. He is excited about leading us into the fullness of what that means and what that looks like. And so we don't need more meetings. We need movement. A movement of people, a movement for people that brings the kingdom of God and the presence of God to the heart of every single community beyond our church buildings. We want to see our buildings filled with God's presence as well, but we also want to see our communities filled with God's presence. And I'm totally convinced that Christ is repositioning His people, His church, as He births an unstoppable, uncontainable movement of His Spirit. A movement, some talk about planting new churches. I think we need to see new expressions of the church, not more individual groups with individual vision, but collaborative church who actually choose to partner together and move forward to see His kingdom come in every street and every state and every community. And all He wants from us is an unconditional yes. Yes, Lord, I will. I will go wherever You send me. I will do whatever You ask me. And so, are you willing to get out of the box? Are you willing to step into God's new normal? Are you willing to step into God's new thing that He's undoubtedly birthing in these days? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, even though you don't fully understand what the question is yet? Is your life surrendered to Him? Because that's the only way to live out authentic biblical Christianity. To be a disciple who's totally given to the purposes and plan of God in your life. And do you have this heart to say, Yes, Lord. Whatever your new thing is, I'm in. I want to be involved in what you are doing. And so if that's you, as you go, there's a few things to remember. First of all, you have to go. To accept the call to live life on mission. In verse 16, this is so beautiful in the passage that we looked at. They answered Joshua, "We will go, we will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us." It's an amazing thing just to be surrendered to the purposes of God. And the whole purpose of Joshua's call was to establish God's purposes on earth and to step into his promises. And that hasn't changed. There's never restriction on the Great Commission, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There never will be. And living it out has begun to look a wee bit different in recent years, and that's been accelerated quite dramatically by COVID. But the shift to this new thing is accelerating in pace, and God wants us to step into the fullness of his purpose and plan in these new and strange times. But the Great Commission continues. As we step into this new normal, you can be sure there are going to be many, many people who need to encounter the power, the presence, and the love of Jesus. There are so many people really struggling with accelerated issues, pandemics of fear and mental illness and suicide and domestic abuse and so much more. But Jesus is the answer to all of it. And so, are you willing to give yourself to show the love, the power, and the grace of Jesus to the people around you? Go to your neighbor. Go to that person across the street. Go to that community down the road. And listen to the heart of God as he calls you and guides you on the path that he has set out before you. And then he says, as you go, stay in the word. Let's look at verse 7 and 8 again. Again, beautiful. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning neither to the right nor to the left. Then you will be successful in all you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. It can't get any clearer than that. They're talking obviously about the writings of Moses, the first five books of the Bible as we now know them. That's all that they had. But they were to live in the Word so that they would know the Word and live out the Word in their everyday lives. It's a profound thing to know God's heart because you're in his word and you know how to live your life as a result. And instantly, every decision that you're faced with, you know what the Bible teaches, you know what God's heart is, and you implement that for his glory. And so in verses 7 and 8, Joshua is told here to fill his heart with God's word if he ever wants to succeed. It's so easy these days to listen to all the wrong voices. And I know that we're surrounded by competing narratives, conflicting opinions, and ever-changing advice on just about everything. But the only thing that matters is that we actually get God's heart, that we listen to his voice, that we're led by his spirit, because he is the only one who really knows what is next. And God will never be the author of confusion. So get into his presence and into his word, and you will know the way to go. And so we need to live in obedience to the word. Not just know it, live in obedience to Jesus. And so often we ignore the most important element, I believe, of the Great Commission. We're told to go, we're called to make disciples, we're called to baptize these new believers, all of that. But then Jesus said, and teach these new believers to obey all of the things that I have commanded you. There's so much in the Bible about obedience that whenever we live out his will, then it proves that we are truly his. And so we're told to teach others to live in obedience as well. Teach them how, help them on their journey as they try to do this. And here's the thing, the only qualification you need to teach obedience is to be living in obedience yourself. But after all this went on, all the way through the Bible, after Joshua's day, we see so many times that the people of God were presented with opportunities to step into new, unknown situations where God birthed new things, led them through those new things to experience profound things. The most dramatic of those was about 1400 years later. Jesus had come. He had died on the cross for our sin. He had rose again on the third day. And now there's another community of believers who are faith-filled. And this generation also were about to step into a new normal. And they found themselves in a really exciting place, but a really challenging place. In John chapter 20, we read about them in lockdown, in a room, locked away because of fear of the Jews. After all that had happened, they had seen their leader crucified on a cross. But now he has been raised to life again. And he shows up in this room and he speaks to them and he said, as the Father sent me, I am now sending you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Shortly after that, he spoke to them, and this is what he said in Acts 1 verse 8. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And these guys were also faced with a new normal. They didn't really know what was going to happen. And in Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit. And they were sent shortly after that into all the surrounding regions and throughout the world. But there's something really beautiful that he said there in Acts 1 verse 8. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses. And the word witness there is actually the word martos. It's translated in other parts of the Bible as martyr. And so it doesn't really have the same ring to it when you think of it like that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my martyrs. Now, it doesn't mean that we are necessarily going to have to give our lives for the gospel in some far-flung country. But it always means, and it might mean that, but it always means that we're to give our lives to the purposes of God, give our lives to the expansion of his kingdom, give our lives to our relationship with him first and foremost. And so that is what God asks of all generations, past, present, and future. He asks that we will be totally given to the purposes of his kingdom. And so I wonder where you are at today. As you look at this new normal just around the corner, not knowing really fully what it looks like, are you willing to cross over in faith, totally given to the purposes and plan of God? I hope you really get God's heart in this. He wants you to step into the new normal, to cross over filled with faith, not fear. And things will change, but God will lead us even further into his promises. Jesus will return for a passionate, a pure, and a committed bride. But how are you going to respond today? How are you going to prepare to step into all that God has? It is going to look different, but how much of yourself will you give to step into the fullness of God and his purposes and his plan? Will you give your life totally to the purposes of God? If you do, I believe you'll see things that generations have only dreamt of. As you do, I believe you'll see this land and your world won for Jesus Christ. I think you'll see his kingdom established in your world. But it boils down to this simple question. Are you willing to count the cost and step into everything that he has for you? I hope and I pray that you will. Maybe you haven't even begun a relationship with Jesus. The same call is to you. Count the cost and step into his fullness for your life and begin to understand the joy and the beauty of a relationship with the one who died and rose again to give you life. So all I would say to end is this: give yourself totally and completely to the purposes of God in your generation, and you will see miraculous things, as has been throughout all the ages of those who trust God and choose faith over fear. God bless you.